excuse me. Let's say you tend to only go out to eat on the weekend. So let's say you're pretty rigid with your meals and structured with your meals and very accurate because you're weighing all these things yourself Monday through Friday afternoon. And then your weekend meals start on Friday night. You need to recognize that that rigidity has a purpose in that it's allowing you to have a little more flexibility on the weekend in the sense that if you don't track those other things on the weekends perfectly, it is not the reason why you're not going to see progress. If that turns out to be the case, that's where the data that you're collecting with your coach over time, like we can take a step back and zoom out and kind of like ask that question. But we don't want to assume that that's the case until we start to plateau. So many of my clients assume that before anything is even going wrong. They're convinced that just because they were super, super accurate multiple days of the week, now this one day, this one meal, or these 2 to 3 meals that they're not, I promise you're fine by estimating. But more importantly, by recognizing that your ability to be committed and accurate for those other meals during the week is giving you the exact skill set and tools you need to live in that gray area. It's giving you the understanding of like, oh, when I look at this plate of food that I ordered out, I have a good sense of eyeballing this of like how much protein it is, how many carbohydrates are in it, even if you don't know, okay, like there's some oil and butter and extra things that got thrown into the mix there.
Let's link up with Krista on The Fix. She's a wellness coach with a focus on mental well-being and physical strength.
What's happening, Fix listeners? Welcome back to our latest episode. I'm your host, Krista Huber. And if this is your first time here on the Fix podcast, welcome, welcome. So excited to have you as an official listener and automatically a part of the Fix fam. I have been on a little solo episode kick for those of you who are not new to the show. And I'm having a lot of fun with these, although I will say we do have an exciting format change that is coming very soon. If you've been tuning in for the last several episodes, you've all heard a lot of my content is coming from client check-ins. And in thinking through that a little bit more, I thought, well, why don't we just actually bring some of our clients onto the show? So I have a few of them who have already agreed and are very interested in doing so. And you can expect to put some faces and some names behind the stories that I get to share. And I think it's just going to be a really fun opportunity to share more about the Fitness Fix community, who are the faces that make it up, and who are the incredible women and men that we are just honored to be able to serve and work with and help lead their best and healthiest lives every single day. So know that that is coming very soon. But in the meantime, this episode is going to be about me and my learning lessons that I have had in the last several years, but even just in kind of looking back on my fitness and nutrition journey as a whole. A couple weeks ago, we had a group nutrition coaching call. We hold them every single week for our one-on-one clients. And in that conversation, we started talking about what it was like to kind of be like a newbie to lifting versus somebody who's been at it for a long time. And as I was talking through it, I did the math real quick in my head, and I realized I've been lifting for the better part of like 13, 14 years. So when it comes to my fitness journey, it all started as a swimmer, I will say. If there are things I could go back and kind of change, and this is exactly what I'm going to talk about in this episode, I actually wish I would have started lifting sooner because I think it would have had a bigger impact on my swimming. But I'll get into that in a second. What I also have realized is just I've been tracking macros on and off for the better part of 7 years. And in that time, there was like an entire year where I totally said, screw this. And I wanted absolutely nothing to do with it. And I will share more about why if you haven't heard that from other episodes and other interviews that I've done. But I basically kind of came to the conclusion that I wanted to record this podcast episode because there's been a fun little trend that I've seen on Instagram Reels in the last month or so that's all about a couple of things like tips or tricks that fitness and wellness professionals would give if they were to go back and completely start their nutrition and fitness journey all over beginning today. So obviously we have hindsight to be able to rethink what we might have approached and the way we might have approached our fitness and nutrition. So I came up with four different things that I would keep top of mind, that some of which were not top of mind at all when I initially started with food tracking, when I started getting really serious in the gym. And others are things that I did back then, continue to do today, but maybe today with the life experiences that I've had and how my lifestyle has changed and the differences between your early 20s and pushing closer to 30 and how your body really changes in that time, there are just some factors of my fitness and nutrition that I would put a lot more, I wish I had put a lot more emphasis on sooner, but the good news is I know better now and they are at the forefront of how I prioritize my lifestyle today. So let's get right into it. Again, if you're new here, so happy to have you. Introduce yourself if you're somebody who listens, whether this is your first episode or maybe you've been listening to us for a little while. I would love to hear from you. You can shoot me a DM over at the Krista Huber or at thefix.officialpod and we'll get in touch. So let's dive right into it. All right. So I was brainstorming my list of the four different pillars of my fitness routine that I would 100% put at the top of the priority list if I knew everything that I knew right now today as I'm sitting here recording this podcast. So here they are. I'm going to go through all of them in more detail, but I am going to list them off. Took some notes. You guys who know me well know that I kind of just like do these episodes off the cuff, but this one I wanted to add a little more structure to. So here's what I have. First one, I would put a lot more emphasis on recovery, in particular sleep, but also my training schedule. That's number one. Number two, I would spend a lot more time, and I have talked about this in previous podcast episodes, learning how to not diet. And that's actually a huge focus inside of the Fitness Fix program. So definitely something I'll unpack in the next few minutes here. The third thing, and this one kind of has two parts, is that I would have learned to prioritize lifting heavier weights much sooner and treating that as a consistent form of cardio. And my 3A kind of point to that is I would have gotten way more basic with the lifts that I was doing and focus much more on progressive overload and hitting the, what I like to call the heavy hitters or those compound lifts that are going to give you the most bang for your buck and actually changing the shape of your physique and doing them so frequently to the point where it almost seemed boring versus getting caught in the trap of variety in my workouts. That's going to be a good one. And then the last one, I will say this is something I've definitely done the entire time, but I think it's important, so I wanted to keep it included, is having fun. And I did a whole episode on this last week on why I think it's so important. There are definitely lessons I've learned of how to kind of change the relationship I've had with food tracking to be able to be a little bit more carefree with certain aspects of my life, like going out to eat, like travel. I think when I can look back on the ways I might have prioritized my food tracking or maybe the hangups that I had around food tracking when I was newer to it back in like 2018-ish, I definitely got a little hyper fixated on, oh gosh, what do I do if I can't track this food perfectly? So maybe it's a mix of like having fun, but also learning to let go. And I think that needs to continue to be a part of everybody's health and wellness journey. So those are the four we're going to walk through. So here goes. Number one, sleep and recovery. When I think back to when I first, and I'm going to kind of say like, yes, I've been lifting since I was like 15 years old. And like I mentioned, I don't know that I was really following like a very specific program probably until I got to college. And even in that time when I was in college, I was doing somewhat of like a high intensity interval training style workout. It had some dumbbells, nothing crazy heavy into the mix. Lots of cardio, lots of burpees, tuck jumps, explosive movements that aren't necessarily bad, but what I have since learned is when it came to the results that I desired of literally looking like a different person, being more toned, aka having more muscle, there were probably other exercises that I would have been better off prioritizing. But quite frankly, even as an athlete through high school and at a pretty competitive level, my high school swim team was a very strong team. I never really got the education for that. And that's something I'll get into when I talk more about how I've changed my approach to the way that I train and focusing on lifting. But for starters, recovery. I'll kind of date this back to like 2016-ish. I was newly out of college, experiencing the post-grad life for the first time. I had a desk job. I was working in finance, and I was also a Pure Barre teacher. I was new to the city that I was living at the time, Charlotte, North Carolina, and I was bopping around to lots of different studios. I also worked and trained at a studio called Burn Boot Camp, and I loved it. They were great workouts. They were a lot of fun. It was an awesome way to make friends in a new city. The community was fantastic, but the criteria or the culture of that environment was very much focused on this idea of, you know, getting into your classes. They were called camps, at least 5, if not 6 days a week. And you kind of had like a little bit of FOMO, at least I did. And that could have definitely been a combination of like, hey, I was new to this place. I wanted to make friends. I wanted to meet other people. I wanted to meet people who cared about fitness, because obviously if we had that in common, that would be something that I'd be able to bond with them over. So it always felt like I needed to make it a point to never miss a workout. And that, coupled with the fact that a lot of that style training was very intense on my body, I didn't really realize how that might backfire in my case about 3 years later when I kind of pulled away from that sort of training. Or yeah, 3.5, 4 years later when I pulled away from that sort of training. And I was also working 2 jobs, having this side gig in group fitness, and working 9 to 5. 22 at the time, your priorities on the weekends usually look like going out to bars, making new friends, going out to eat a lot. And I most definitely was not getting good quality sleep. I'm not always the best, even today, when it comes to sleep, but I can at least say that I understand the importance of it and how much it impacts my training. So if you're somebody who, even if you're new or not, just use this episode as like inventory to see, do I prioritize these things? And if you don't, I can tell you that you're leaving a lot on the table, and honestly, a lot that's almost quote unquote easy because it's so foundational. And that's the whole reason why if I were to go back and start over today, I would just focus very specifically on these aspects of my fitness and my nutrition. So sleep is 100% one. More specifically with that, being way more consistent, I would say this was probably something I did not even remotely pay attention to when I was in my early 20s, was going to bed at the same time every single night and making a commitment to waking up at the same time every single morning. It was a little bit challenging to manage this, and it has been a little bit challenging over the years just with the nature of the work that I do. At some points, you go through seasons where as a fitness instructor, you're teaching classes at 5, 6 a.m. That looks like a 4 a.m. wake up. And there were way too many times where I would not go to bed until after 11 o'clock at night. And it had a lot to do with just like, I wanted to do all the things. I didn't want to miss out. I was juggling a lot, both personally and professionally. But on those nights that I knew that I had to get up that early the next day, I should have definitely made it a point to be getting into bed sooner. And then with that, and where it kind of ties into like the workout aspect of things, there were definitely periods where I wish I had learned to skip a workout because I had not gotten a restful night's sleep. Even when I first started working with a nutrition coach, I really only specifically focused on my macronutrients and just kind of like saying, hey, just hit these targets. If you hit these targets, you will be successful. We did do a bit to track sleep. It was a part of all of the data I was submitting to this person on a regular basis, but it wasn't necessarily something we really talked about. And I'll also take full ownership of that because I didn't necessarily come to her as her client and say, hey, I don't know if I'm really getting adequate recovery here. I don't know if this is something that I should be paying more attention to and really prioritizing working on. So it's a two-way street when it comes to coaching, and it just was never really on my radar to even ask about it. And I didn't necessarily think it was a problem because I was seeing results. I wasn't at a point where I was stuck when I had first started working with a coach and just had this brand new exposure to macros. Things kind of happened for me pretty quickly. What I didn't consider was when I was 20 something, I could get away with things a little bit more easily, that I didn't necessarily need to put so much of an emphasis on some of these other factors, like the way I was recovering and the way I was prioritizing getting to bed on time, along with the types of workouts I was doing, food quality, all the other stuff. I also think, if I think back to even like my early swimming career, I definitely dealt with a few different injuries. And so I'll put in this recovery bucket before I move on to the second point around learning how to not diet and moving into the nutrition piece for a little bit. But I had a few injuries and I had periods where I was in physical therapy. I remember right out of college, I had an issue with my knee that was just like really nagging me and wouldn't go away. And in that same vein of not really being recovered, I was so anti-activities like yoga or a meditation and qualifying that as a workout. And that definitely just had to do with my mentality of like everything had to be super hard, leaving you drenched in sweat all the time, or it didn't count. So I now see the impact that that has on you from a mental perspective and just the ability to reduce stress in your life and letting go of things like we'll get to when we talk about the fun aspect of all of this. So something I've now been able to incorporate into my routine, I would say I kind of found a new like appreciation for this maybe in 2021, 2022, is spending more time in activities like yoga, making it a point to do mobility exercises for the first 10 minutes every time I walk into the gym, and foam rolling, doing them for 10 minutes at the end of every single workout and not skipping on those aspects of my training because they serve you in lots of different ways. From the recovery aspect, you are then able to perform at a much higher rate when you are training. And ideally, if you're pouring into the recovery bucket just as much as you're pouring into that training bucket, you should be able to see better results without necessarily having to work harder, right? Because, I mean, you could say, yes, it's more time spent on the mobility aspect, but it's also something that's going to make you feel good. And it's also something that is functional in the rest of your life when you're thinking about longevity, when you're thinking about how are you going to mitigate injury in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond? How are you going to be that person that's still in the gym well into their 70s and absolutely crushing it? So those are things that I think, you know, being wrapped up as a 22-year-old and only like the here and now and that exact present moment, you just don't really think about that. And you just believe that there are a lot more things that you can, like I said, kind of get away with. So that would be number one. And that is something that now I have recommitted to taking much more seriously, but it'll always be an area that I know I need to work because I'm definitely work on because I'm definitely the person who, when I get certain ideas, I find, and I shared this on a group coaching call just 2 weeks ago as well, I find a lot of times I can be a little bit more creative at night and I have to force myself to unplug from my phone, from my computer, my camera, because otherwise I kind of use that time to get going on things and then my brain gets going and it makes it that much harder to get into a sleep routine. So I've really relied on meditations, have loved using the Calm app. I recently got the Oura Ring and have been using that to track my sleep. I will say it's not necessarily telling me anything I don't realize, but it's because I'm aware that my sleep is a bucket that needs work. But it's great to have that data, and it also has a fun little meditation app aspect built into it too. So I like listening to those to kind of relax and unwind before I go to bed every single night and just shift out of my work mode into my evening wind down time sort of mode. So that's the first thing. Second one, and I would say this is probably the most important of all four of these because I do believe this had the biggest impact on my experience in the last 3 years to where I did feel like I actually had to start over on my fitness and nutrition journey. And that is this concept of spending more time learning how to not diet. If you're new around here, you've probably heard me say this many times, but I will literally say this until I'm blue in the face because I think it is one of the biggest misses when it comes to trying to lose body fat. It's a huge miss because we're all in a rush to see a certain outcome, especially when you sign up for a program. Now, this is no fault to any of the programs that I did. I literally wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for that me being on the other side of things, being a client and understanding the value of having a coach and the results that I saw in a pretty quick amount of time. back in 2018 or 2017, maybe it was, the first nutrition coach I had. At the time, their programs were structured for 12-week programs. So I kept signing up for things like that. I would be very successful. I'd lose 15 pounds and was super happy with the progress that I was making. I got a fantastic, you know, deep dive 101 education in understanding macronutrients, learning how to track my food, learning how to pre-plan my meals, learning why protein was so important. Everything that I still hold very near and dear to me today, I probably learned in that first coaching experience that I've had. I've had four different nutrition coaches in my experience over these last several years of understanding macronutrients, even while being a coach. So what I'll say is every time I worked with a coach at that period in my life, I'd get to the end of the 12 weeks of the program and I'd reach a goal weight or even lose more weight than I expected and think like, oh, I'm good. I can go do this on my own. But what I failed to think about was, am I okay with exiting a program in the middle of a calorie deficit? I'm talking like I was eating only about 1,300, 1,400 calories, and I would kind of convince myself that I'd be like, oh yeah, like I'll keep tracking my food so I can just like slowly work my calories back up. But here's the problem. I had no freaking clue where I was supposed to work my calories back up to, because with having been inside of one of these programs for only 12 weeks, I didn't really spend time the way we do inside of the Fitness Fix program, focusing on learning how to intentionally eat more food. And that's what we do in our fuel phase, which for most of our clients is a minimum of 3 months. And in a lot of cases is more like 4 to 5. Some of them even pushing 6+ months if they're happy with the body composition changes that they're seeing, because thanks to the fact that they're consistently eating more, they're putting on muscle, they're getting more lean and toned, and that's really what they desire. So why not do that? Like, we're looking for a minimum effective dose over here. Why not get you the result with allowing you to maximize the number of calories you're consuming? I just never had had that experience. And what I know now is at the time, I didn't have as many stressors in my life. And I was eating I was eating in a calorie surplus, which is why I wasn't happy with my body composition at the time. I did definitely change my relationship to carbohydrates. I was somebody who was definitely afraid of carbs and didn't want to consume them. But in just building self-awareness from tracking my food, I did learn that I was consuming a lot more calories than I realized, especially on the weekends, going out drinking, pizza, late night eats, brunch the next day, and you know, just that cycle being recycled and repeated every single weekend, but also just having no concept for the fact that even healthy fat was pretty highly caloric. When I look back and think about the amount of avocado I'd have in one sitting, or the number of egg yolks I would use, olive oil on all of my veggies, nothing wrong with any of those things, but I just had no awareness until I first started tracking my food that started to add up really quickly. So it was taking some of those things out, adding more of the carbohydrates back in, increasing protein, but that was what worked for me. And I never really learned how to take that skill of looking at food in this lens of what is a protein, what is a carbohydrate, and what is a fat in a way that I could then apply it to my daily life without feeling chained to MyFitnessPal, without feeling like I had to track everything all the time. So I would kind of get to the end of these programs, tell myself that I could do it solo. I'd continue the momentum. I'd track my food for several weeks, if not months at a time. But let's say, for example, I might be ending a program like that in like April or May. Memorial Day would roll around. The summer would come up. I always feel like I want to be more social in the summertime, more going out to eat, more time spent out time, probably more likelihood for drinking alcohol. And I just wouldn't, or maybe traveling, being on the go, and I wouldn't really be as motivated to track my food. So I'd stop tracking it completely, kind of tell myself that I had enough logic to pay attention, but fast forward a few months and then I'd be getting ready to prep for some sort of event or something. And I'd be like, I really want to lose some weight here. I'd immediately go back to the coach. So there's almost two things wrapped up in this, in that it would be learning to intentionally eat more food, exactly what we do inside of the Fitness Fix, but also learning the value of the relationship that the coach plays in your life. I love when our clients come to us and ask us constantly, why do you suggest this? Why should I do this this way? Why should I do that way? I trusted this coach and I was happy that we had this type of relationship, but I just never really thought to ask well, why are we doing this way? What might it look like if we move into that maintenance phase? Had I asked those types of questions, I know that this person would have gotten to me to where I wanted to go without those pauses and those stops and starts in between. But it just wasn't even on my radar because I didn't understand that once I got to a certain point, if I wasn't okay with continuing the behaviors that got me to that exact point with maintaining them, I needed to find some other kind of happy medium. And I needed support. This is my personality. I needed support to execute on those strategies and finding those happy mediums. So that's definitely something I would do, which now I feel like I'm throwing in a fifth point on top of all of the four that I've shared so far. And that's, I probably would have said I would have started with a coach even sooner. Although I've even had a personal trainer before I started on my nutrition journey. And I do feel in a lot of ways, the accountability of being inside of the group fitness setting was some sort of coaching aspect that definitely filled that bucket. So maybe it's not so much of what I would have done, but if you're new to it and you don't know where to start, well, you found this podcast. So clearly you are coming to the right place when it comes to having that accountability and support. And I just can't emphasize the value of that enough. So that's the second one. Now, when I think about that today, I think about the fact that it's one of those things that I feel is really important because I feel like throughout 2020 into 2022, I did take several steps backwards. And a lot of it just had to do with the fact that I was kind of burnt out from tracking my food because I didn't learn how to slowly exit out of it. I didn't learn how to trust myself and test myself when it came to seeing if I could stay within my macros or within my calories. And I would have been so much more successful in doing that with a coach. So it just kind of felt like, wow, I'm taking three or four steps backwards here because transparently in that time, I went through a lot of personal changes in my life. I canceled an engagement. I called off a wedding. I quit my job. I moved. The pandemic was happening at the same time. The gym environment had totally changed and I just felt completely lost. And I felt really disgusted by what I had been doing before and just wanting to shed that layer of my life that I wanted nothing to do with it. And I felt so restricted in the approach and the relationship I had taken to macros that I can now appreciate the fact that it was a great new beginning because the next time I started working with a coach, I went into it with such a different lens and truthfully a much more open mind and actually the determination to be hey, I'm going to continue this coaching relationship until I can honestly say I can do this solo. And I need you as the coach to provide me the structure to test me doing this solo. So in that regard, it's been great. Now, let's kind of shift gears over into the fitness aspect of it and talk more about the training side of things. I have always loved to lift heavy. It's just been something that was kind of natural to me. I remember when again, going back to that timeline of when I first graduated college, I'd hired a personal trainer in Charlotte. And one of the first times we worked out together, he was like, let's just see how much you can deadlift. I had never really used a barbell. But it was something that I was interested in. I felt confident because he was right there with me. And I was easily putting up 185 the very first time that I grabbed a barbell, which was really cool. I didn't really recognize that I had that strength. And he kept saying to me, he's like, you should have a lot of raw natural strength. Now let's work on your form and really we can go get after it, which was really fun. However, I probably only saw this trainer once a week, maybe twice a week at certain points. And we would do a lot of really cool different exercises, movements. We'd throw in cardio into the mix. We were doing burpees and running on the treadmill and sprints and things like that. A lot of explosive movements, things with med balls, all that sort of fun stuff. But I really only did my main lifting with that barbell and learning how to back squat, learning how to deadlift, learning how to bench with him. And the rest of my training looked like lots of different group fitness classes. And what I missed the mark on was probably twofold, that if I were to tell somebody who was going to get started today, not to waste their time on, is get comfortable with weight as soon as possible and focus on slowing things down, learning how to create that mind-muscle connection, being open to going into a gym and trying different machines. It's legitimately taken me up until the last 2 years. And again, I've been like consistently at this whole thing since 2016, if not way younger than that, if I throw into what I did in college and late high school from my swimming days. But I really didn't even start like using different, I was telling a client this other day, like I really didn't even start experimenting with different machines in the gym because I felt like self-conscious that I didn't know how to move pins around or set up the seat right or something like that until legit 2 years ago. And I realized that I was just missing out on so much ability to target specific muscle groups. Now, let me be clear. That is not to say that you can just spot train things, but to really be able to maximize how much I was focusing on specific muscles and testing my strength, I was just leaving all of that on the table because for two reasons. I would go to these classes and everything was focused on get this done as fast as possible. So a lot of times I might compromise the weight that I was using in exchange for, okay, well, I only have X amount of time. I need to get through X amount of reps. The workout itself is only 45 minutes. And there was also just this encouragement of like, you need to keep moving the entire time and you need to be super sweaty, going hard in the paint for the entire 45 minutes to the point where you get to the end, you get to that last stretch and you're laying on the ground and you're huffing and puffing and you're dead. That criteria is not the sign of an amazing workout. I went through from probably 2021, even like late 2020, through all of 2021, where I barely even sweat when I went into the gym, but I completely changed the shape of my physique because throughout 2020, I had lost a lot of muscle, put on a good bit of body fat, had completely stopped training. And in that time, it was safe and familiar. I wanted to jump right back into that environment of like, let's go really hard every single workout, get super sweaty, be huffing and puffing, and then dead by the time you were done with the class. And I had no idea the impact that that was having on me based on the fact that, like I've already shared, my sleep wasn't looking great. I'd had a lot of personal changes in my life and my stress and specifically my cortisol was already very elevated. Now, hear me when I say that cortisol is important and is very necessary. It is a tool of a hormone that you can utilize. And it's an important function in our body for pure survival. Like, if you want to survive when you're running from a bear, you do need your cortisol and your adrenaline and all those things to kick in. But mine was just in this elevated state all the time. And I had no idea that those workouts were only basically taking something that was already on fire and pouring more gasoline on top of it. So the reason why I would say that I wished, if I were starting over, that I would focus specifically on strength training is because everything I needed when it comes to the skills and the strength that you develop through resistance training and more, let's call it like that more traditional bodybuilding style of training would have actually made me just as successful inside of these high intensity workouts that I really enjoyed, which I then could have mixed in like once or twice a week, or maybe like every other week or 2-3 times a month. And that's kind of what I do now. Like I look at it as it's something that's really fun. I have gyms that I work with here locally in New Jersey who have that type of training option available. So when I want to get some cardio in, I'll jump in there because quite frankly, who wants to do much of cardio by themselves? But as mentioned, when I kind of laid out these four things at the top of this episode, what I wish I had more knowledge around from a science perspective was more on what's going to actually change the shape of your physique. That is strength training. That is having as much muscle as possible. And more importantly, you can still get your heart rate up when you're lifting weights. And you don't need to get your heart rate up to this like insanely high rate to see the cardiovascular benefits. Your body just needs to know that there's a change in stimulus. Your heart needs to know that there's a change in stimulus. And you will get the benefit that you might have, let's call it that traditional cardio of going for a run, getting on the treadmill or outside, Stairmaster, elliptical, what have you. Wrapped up in that, I would then say the shift that I've made that I would encourage somebody if they were just getting started today is to really focus on doing the same lifts very regularly. I've gotten to a point with my workouts where at minimum, I'm doing the same two workouts twice a week. So I have two upper body days, two lower body days for at least 12 weeks at a time. And honestly, you could do them for 6 months at a time, because what's really great about keeping that the same is you have a very tangible way to measure progressive overload, meaning every single week or on X amount of timeline, you're increasing the weight, you're pushing your body, and you're changing that stimulus that your body needs to respond to. But the reason why you have such a good measure of it is because it's with the same exact exercise. And maybe you play around with like the tool or the implement by switching machines, using cables, using a barbell, using dumbbells, and seeing how those things feel different for you. The changing the implement has been something that in the last 6 months, I've really, with my current nutrition coach, have gotten a lot more knowledge around and have been having fun with that. That's a way that I've added variety to a degree, because I'm not always necessarily using the same exact piece of equipment until I find the piece of equipment that I do believe I'm making the best mind-muscle connection with, that I do believe I'm therefore going to get the most out of. So if you're a busy person, I can promise you that you will be more effective with the time that you spend in the gym of only going in, having that upper and lower body day, hitting 3 to 4 exercises, 3 to 4 sets each, and getting out. You can get that same quick result, but I don't want to say with less effort, it's just a different type of effort. And it's also an effort that can better protect your body if you are someone like so many women inside of our Fitness Fix program who are being pulled in a million directions all the time, who maybe aren't recovering to the degree that they should be, who aren't necessarily getting as much sleep as they should be, and just feel like they're go, go, go all of the time. That's where strength training is really going to be the best option for you. Not to mention, let's go back to that longevity piece that I mentioned earlier. Every single year you're losing muscle, ladies especially. So if you know that that's the case, why not lean into something that is going to guarantee you will maintain, if not gain, as much muscle as possible at any given time? And don't fall into the trap of, oh, you need to confuse your muscles or things of that nature, because you don't. You actually want to have that your body, if there's any kind of confusion going on, it's really just the increase in the weight that you're using and that change in that stimulus. So that's been something that I've really learned to enjoy, and just transitioning from always being in a group setting in the gym to now kind of using that as my time to just like go inside, focus on Krista, put my headphones on, blast some music, and to a degree zone out a little bit and not have to feel like I'm answering to anybody or interacting with anybody. It's like become a different type of meditation for me, which is really, really cool. So that's the third one. And then the last one was all about fun. Now, like I said, when I first introduced these four focus areas that I might have if I were just now starting on this whole journey, I did feel like I was always having fun. I never felt that my decisions around the way I was training, I never felt like, oh, if I was traveling, I had to not miss a workout. Like I said, I did feel like I had to be in the gym 6 days a week, and I don't think that was as necessary as I recognize now. But I never felt like if I was tracking macros, I had to say no to going out to eat or to dinners or brunch with friends. And there are people who certainly feel that way. I work with clients who have had to heal their relationship with food and their perception of how they look at macronutrients to make it slightly more flexible to them. I will say this. When I first started and was really focused on wanting to be as accurate as possible with tracking, I would get very caught up in whether or not I was like spot on with the weight of the food and the ingredients. And I couldn't get comfortable with this idea that I was estimating. Now, every time I have a client ask me that question, it gives me like a little bit of like, oh my God, this was you. And I have that like flashback moment of like, now, several years ahead from where their perspective is, I can realize how silly for me I sounded at the time, but I also get it. Like, I understand it. You have this desire. You want to get the most out of the program you're pouring into. You want to make sure that all of your effort is not going to go to waste, but I just didn't have this perspective that it was only one meal, and as long as I put something in my tracker, it was a lot better than putting nothing in my tracker. So that's one area where maybe it's not even a reminder to tell you to always have fun, but like, don't be so rigid. That's, I think, the better way of saying it is understanding that the whole reason why you might be rigid for most meals in the day, let's say you tend to only go out to eat on the weekends, Let's say you tend to only go out to eat on the weekends. So let's say you're pretty rigid with your meals and structured with your meals and very accurate because you're weighing all these things yourself Monday through Friday afternoon. And then your weekend meals start on Friday night. You need to recognize that that rigidity has a purpose in that it's allowing you to have a little more flexibility on the weekend, in the sense that if you don't track those other things on the weekends perfectly, it is not the reason why you're not going to see progress. If that turns out to be the case, that's where the data that you're collecting with your coach over time, like, we can take a step back and zoom out and kind of like ask that question. But we don't want to assume that that's the case until we start to plateau. So many of my clients assume that before anything is even going wrong. They're convinced that just because they were super, super accurate multiple days of the week, now this one day, this one meal, or these 2 to 3 meals that they're not, that there's going to be this like really big, huge problem. And that's just not true. So I would say, if I could like give anybody like this gentle encouragement, that I promise you're fine by estimating, but more importantly, by recognizing that your ability to be committed and accurate for those other meals during the week is giving you the exact skill set and tools you need to live in that gray area. It's giving you the understanding of like, oh, when I look at this plate of food that I ordered out, I have a good sense of eyeballing this, of like how much protein it is, how many carbohydrates are in it, even if you don't know, okay, like there's some oil and butter and extra things that got thrown into the mix there. But again, like I said, I was never the person that was like, I'm not going out at all, I'm not gonna travel. I still experienced all those things and lived my life, but it's so crucial. Again, we did a whole podcast episode on this last week, and I just think it's more about just the power of letting go and being able to recognize that like nothing is actually that serious unless you choose to give it that power. And I feel like if we give things this power of being like, oh my God, this is so serious, then we usually get stuck because we're caught up in it. Our emotions get stuck inside of it, and it doesn't allow us to just kind of like take a step back and for as corny as it is, it's true. It's just like, appreciate the process and appreciate the journey that you're on in life, because life is a journey. And yeah, that's a little bit cheesy, but it's just one of those things where if you're in this pursuit of health and you're in this pursuit of wellness and you know you want to make a change, you know you want to change your body, you want to have more energy levels, you want to sleep better, you want to look better naked, you want to feel more confident in your clothes, in a bathing suit, whatever it is, if you get too caught up on that, that could be a huge factor in why you ultimately don't get to where you want to go. So whether it's getting caught up or just remembering to have fun, that's something that maybe my relationship to that has kind of ebbed and flows over the years. But I'm happy to say that I never got to a point where I was like, oh my gosh, like I have to say no to all of these things because I'm just so committed to tracking my food. If anything, I would say the biggest and best tool that I got from forcing myself to be in these situations where I went out to eat was I totally appreciate the power of pre-planning my meals. So maybe I have a little bit more rigidity in the sense that like, if I'm going to go out to eat with friends, I'll kind of take the lead and take control or make suggestions about where to go to eat, asking them, hey, what are we going to be having? If I'm going to somebody's house, looking at menus in advance. But I don't really think there's anything wrong with that. There's memes out there all the time on Instagram that I see that are like, they make fun of people who forget to eat. And I'm like, I've been thinking about what I'm going to eat on Thursday night's dinner at Tuesday morning's breakfast. Like, that's totally me. And I think that's perfectly acceptable and fine. So that's everything. Again, just to kind of recap all of this here, if I were to start over today and think about this from the perspective, like, what can you do that's going to get you the most amount of result given your busy lifestyle, a busy schedule, being somebody who's got a social life, wants to work out, wants to feel their best? Look at your recovery, specifically your sleep, but also things like stress management. 2, learn how to not diet. And if you're like, what the heck are you talking about? Definitely go back to our series of episodes that we actually did where we walk you through each phase of the Fitness Fix program, because it teaches you how to live both in a maintenance phase or eating a consistent number of calories that's maybe higher than what a calorie deficit would be for you, not even necessarily a surplus, and being in a calorie deficit. Those starts from episode 93. Our find phase is the first phase of the program that lays down the foundation. And then up through episodes 94, 95, 96, we walk you through our fuel phase, which is that learning how to not diet phase. Our focus phase, that's the calorie deficit. And then our final maintenance phase, which is our freedom phase. So go check those out if you have not listened to them before. It's a great deep dive into the exact process and blueprint that our clients go through to get results. The next part of it is think strategically about your training. Don't make the mistake of thinking that everything has to leave you super exhausted, super sweaty, and be a completely different workout every single time just for it to hold your attention. Lean into the boring work. Lean into the basics, because that's a foundation that you can always rest on when life gets crazy and things change, and we can guarantee that they're going to. And then, like I said, the last one is enjoy the ride. So, with that, from wherever you're listening from, as we always sign off, I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day. Thanks, guys.